Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Back in the middle of 1986, Karen and I packed up our bags, travelled from Brisbane to Kalgoorlie. I had a job there as a lecturer. I was lecturing in computers there. And in that job, there was a number of us who had come from cities, and this was our first time in a mining town. Just like farming towns, mining towns have a different feel to them, don't they? And some of those working in the mine, they've got to remember this is the mid-80s. A lot less safety rules back in the mid-80s. So some folk from one of the mining companies organised that they would take a bunch of us lecturers down a mine shaft. Not a touristy thing. At those days there was a tourist mine you could visit and go down. No. This was before the super pit. This one where we had lots of mines in the town. And so we would be taken on a special tour. And as I said, health and safety wasn't great back in those days. They gave us hard hats, which have a light on it. That was it. I had sneakers, no steel cap boots or anything. I was just dressed in like today, dressed like how I would be for lecturing. And it was, they shoved us all into a minibus, took us out to the site, put us in the elevator and took us down. I don't know how many of you have been underground. Underground has a different feel to it. You may have been out in the bush or on your farm on a cloudy night. And when you're away from your home, it's really dark out there, isn't it? I assure you that it is not as dark as it is underground. It feels a bit like this. There can be an anxiety of what happens if your light goes out. And just to add to that anxiety, they got us to all turn our lights off. That's how I know how dark it is. You feel like your eyes are straining to see a light somewhere, but there just isn't. The darkness feels solid. It's not fun. Just as a side note, by the time I got home, I don't think ever in my life have I been as dirty and had dirt in cracks and crevices as much as I did when I came home from that day. As I said, it wasn't the tourist way. We went into quite messy things and people were operating around us, so we were covered in dirt and stuff. It was good though, very memorable. But darkness is something that we deal with here, be it the darkness of night, the darkness of underground, the darkness of life. In Genesis starts off with, in the beginning, doesn't it? What did God do at the beginning? The first words we hear God say are, let there be light. As we read all of Scripture, we understand that whilst God is, of course, talking about physical light coming into the physical darkness, there's also prophecy going on in these words, because John's gospel tells us that the light is Jesus. One of the interesting things is both Genesis chapter 1 and the prologue to John, those first 18 verses in John's gospel, both of them start with in the beginning, and both of them talk about the coming of light. There's a lot of Genesis parallels all throughout John's gospel. He's not just wanting to say that with the coming of Jesus, we're into a new creation, but he's telling us that this new creation started way back before God even said those words. Jesus isn't something that God has come up with as a last resort, or, you know, if you follow American football, you may know the term Hail Mary, come up with that last minute ingenious win you often see in action movies. Everything's gone horribly wrong. Someone comes up with a plan at the last minute, saves everyone. Jesus isn't a last minute thought, is he? God had planned this way back. Jesus doesn't just bring the light, he is the light. Isaiah talks about that we are walking in darkness. Darkness is a very real thing. If any of you have suffered from depression, have had anxiety really bad, you would know this. Darkness is something that is tangible. It feels like the world is closing in on you. Now, it may feel that way just because you're listening to the news and you're hearing about wars and the possibility of wars. I was feeling that a bit way just the other week when people were talking that we may go to war over Greenland. I thought, what? What sort of world are we living in? We hear about the horrible things that people do to one another that is going on in the world, and that darkness, that fear starts to overwhelm us. And sometimes we could be feeling, and I know I have been this way, where it feels like, why get up in the morning? There's just too much going on. Many a morning, I sort of wake up and my prayer is really those last words in Revelation, come Lord Jesus, come. I think we've had about enough. Good time to return, Lord. But what Isaiah is saying is that in the darkness, a great light appears. And Matthew is telling us in the passage we just read, this was talking all about the coming of Jesus and his ministry. When Jesus starts preaching, the great light has appeared. He is not obliterating all the darkness at this stage. That's going to come, have no fear. When Christ returns, the new heaven and the new earth, there is no longer any sin, is there? No more death, no more tears. We're told that there's no need for the sun or the moon because God is living with us and it's always light. The darkness will be abolished. But for now, he is the great light in the darkness. When we feel the dark around us, where should our focus be? On Jesus, on the light that he is providing. When we focus on Jesus, the darkness suddenly doesn't feel as threatening. When you're underground and you feel that physical darkness and you turn your light on, it's as though the fear's gone, isn't it? You may feel the same way when you've had a bad dream and you put the light on. There are no monsters in the room. Light expels the darkness. And Jesus is the light of God come to the world. When we focus on him, the fears of this world start to not matter as much. If you're feeling yourself that this sense of dread, if you're feeling overwhelmed with the world, come and set your eyes upon Jesus. Come to your scriptures, read about Jesus. Come together with others, pray to Jesus. Meditate upon him. Come into the light rather than dwelling in the darkness. Part of our problem, and John talks about this in his first epistle, in 1 John, we who are children of the light, because of Jesus, that's who we are, we're children of the light. We are forgiven, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are children of the light, but you know what we tend to want to do? Dwell in the dark. Not just walk through it, not just travel through it to the light. We tend to get that we plop ourselves down into the darkness. We give ourselves over to the fears of this world. We give ourselves over to the darkness. And scripture calls out to us to don't do that. That's basically what John says in his epistle. Stop acting like you're children of the dark. You're children of the light. Get up. Head towards the light. Spend your time in the light. Now, when Jesus comes, he doesn't just point to the light. You may have noticed in what I've been saying, he is the light. Our job is to point to Jesus, isn't it? His job is to be the light. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that we need is in Jesus. Come to him and receive. He's not holding this back from you. He wants to willingly share all this with you. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from the darkness. Take the darkness and dump it all at the cross and receive what Christ has done for you. As it says up there, when he arrives, reality changes. Some people talk about that as Jesus comes into a situation, he turns it upside down. He often does things that you don't expect. You read through the Gospels, you'll find all the time Jesus is doing things that not only the religious leaders don't expect him to do, his very followers don't expect him to do. But I remember one speaker I heard many years ago that it's probably better, rather than saying Jesus turns things upside down, is that he turns things right way up. We're already in the upside down, aren't we? We're already in a situation that is not working right. He shows us what is right. And sometimes to us, it seems wrong. It seems wrong because we're living in the darkness. And the light, you know what happens when someone turns the light on in your bedroom, or you may be able to remember back to those days as a teenager where mum comes and opens the blinds and the light comes in and it's, you feel like, you know, a vampire or something. You don't want the light. The light can be that way at times, can't it? It can be blinding. It can feel overwhelming. And Jesus is that sort of light. At times, he can feel overwhelming. Sometimes we need to adjust to being in the light. And our Lord has patience with us. This is one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit, is he takes time with us. He helps us to adjust to the light. He helps us become people of the light. The light that is Jesus doesn't just illuminate. If you continue on in that Isaiah passage, the light comes and it liberates. It sets us free from the conquering darkness. Yes, till Jesus returns, the darkness is still out there, isn't it? There are evil forces at work in our world. I think you would have a hard time denying that. but he liberates us from them. They don't have power over us. Even though they may kill us and hurt us, nothing they can do can separate us from the love of God. That's a beautiful thing in Romans, isn't it? Doesn't matter what's out there. The light has come. He has liberated us from the power of the darkness. The yoke of sin is broken. Sin and guilt no longer have to dominate you. It's only when we, as I mentioned before, we sit our butts down and dwell in the darkness that these things start to have control over us again. We need to get up and turn our focus to the cross. Come and put those sins there. Turn away from them. Turn towards Jesus. And in the Hebrews passage mentioned, Hebrews 2, 14 to 15, if you read that, one of the things that the light does, one of the things that Jesus does is destroy the fear that there is in the world. The fear of death, the fear of guilt. If fear is overcoming you, you need to come back to Jesus. I'm not saying that this is a overnight change. For some of us, our anxieties, our fears of the world, it's going to take some time. And the Holy Spirit will work on that. But set your eyes on Jesus. And as you think about this, I think it's important to remember that unlike that picture of the miner we had up there before, he brought his own light, didn't he? When we are called to be light in the world, it is not our own light we are shining, are we? We are reflecting the light of Christ. We are to be the light in the world, but when Scripture is saying that, it is telling us to be the moon, not the sun. Just in case you don't know, the moon generates no light whatsoever. It's a dead rock up there in space. The sunlight reflects off it down to us. We need to be like that. We need to be the moon, and in us, people see the light of the sun, pun intended. So when we say, let your light shine before others, our light is not something we are generating. It is the light of Christ through us. This is as we go out there, as we show forth love to those in our families, to those we meet around us, to those we work with, to those we do recreational, those we fish with. That light coming out is not generated by us, but we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Our job is to be light bringers to this world. Not our own light, but the light of Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.